It's great to see all the red in anticipation of the Holy Spirit moving among us on Pentecost. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. Bow your heads, please. Father God, we thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit among us this day, as you do every time we gather, but as we celebrate Pentecost, Holy Spirit, speak to us this day. Take these words and thoughts of mine, use them to speak to us. Take our ears and finely tune them. Jesus, in the midst of all that I say, it's your word we'd hear. Amen. Please be seated. At the dinner table, Billy exclaimed to the family, "I know the first name of God." Dad pulls back a little bit and says, "Well, Billy, what is God's name?" "Harold." "Harold." "Dad, we say it every Sunday. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We often say words that we don't really know what they mean. We often just go through the motions because it's there and it's a little complicated to figure out at the time, and then we put it to rest. And one of those names that I often said, particularly before the prayer book was revised in 1979, we referred to the third person of the Trinity as the Holy Ghost. Now, I have to tell you, I said I believe in the Holy Ghost Sunday after Sunday, and I know much about this Holy Ghost. And, you know, just that idea, Holy Ghost, mysterious to say the least, surprising, elusive, all the things that come with ghost and goblins. As I said, growing up in the Episcopal Church, Sunday school was really about the creeds, the Lord's Prayer, and the liturgical seasons and colors. And so I learned very little about the Scripture. Who was this Holy Ghost? Who is this Holy Ghost? The last couple of weeks in your announcement page, we've had a list of the 33 things the Holy Spirit does. Let us turn to that again, because you're going to have homework, sermon with homework. 33 things the Holy Spirit does. It's on the inside part, I believe, the way it's folded. Just glance at that list, and this is for you to take home and look up at each one of those scriptures. So I don't know about you, as I look at that list, there's many things on that list that I'm surprised about. Oh, I thought that was the role of the Father or Jesus. Always have to remember a lot of what Jesus did in his 3 years, now the Spirit is doing as Jesus is ascended. But as I look at that list, I can't but help but be awestruck. Stand back and say, wow, I didn't know all of that. I didn't know all of that. As I read from the gospel, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." I look at that list and say, send them on. Come on. Joyce and I, as we share pastoral ministry here at St. Nicholas Church, and my other staff members, Matt Stroud with youth ministry and Rebecca Carroll, children's ministry, and Nicole increasingly with worship team, as we minister to the needs of people, something that I've noticed and Joyce have noticed and shared with one another, in the 7 years I've been here, this year much more than any other has seen many more pastoral needs among us, in our own lives as staff, but among you, more people in the hospital than ever before. We're a young congregation. When I first came, if we had a hospital visit once a month, it was often. Now we have two or three people a week that we can see in a hospital place, or have lives that are shattering. There are more pastoral needs than ever before, and the way I react to that is I need more of the Holy Spirit to equip me as a pastor, but to equip you to go through the stuff that you're experiencing, these increased pastoral needs. I think you've noticed that our society is becoming less and less Christian in the way in which it lives. We are increasingly living a countercultural lifestyle. We are going upstream, a different direction than the culture around us. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And it's going to get harder. I react to that is, I need more of the Holy Spirit to equip me to live in this world that's counter to the way in which Jesus calls me to live and equips me to speak into a world that's living counter to the way that Jesus calls us to live. I need the Holy Spirit. If we go to the book of John chapter 20, you don't need to turn with that, I'll read it for you, but John chapter 20 is that visitation of Jesus, a resurrection appearance. He's had many at this point, if you read for the Gospel of John, and the pieces are coming together for the disciples. And now he comes on the evening of that first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Many scholars look at this text and say this is the cementing of their conversion. 3 years ago, many of them had left everything to follow. Were they followers of Jesus the Messiah or just this dramatic teacher? I don't know. I don't know their hearts. As they went along, they had many questions and the pieces didn't fit. And what we see in the resurrection appearances, Jesus continually sat with them and put the pieces together. Now the pieces have come together and they're affirming Jesus as the resurrected Lord, the Messiah. Conversion. Full understanding, agreement, surrender. That's where they are. And what happens is he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, "And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" What Paul is really saying in that little verse is, all those that follow Jesus, surrender their life to Him, have the Holy Spirit in them. John chapter 20 has happened. But then we jump into Luke chapter 24. And even though he has breathed on them the Holy Spirit, he talks about it in yet another experience. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written, that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high.'" He's speaking that to those that he had already breathed the Holy Spirit into about an experience yet to happen that's going to bring great power to their life and transform them in yet just another way. That's what we're celebrating today. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were seated. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled, saturated, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of them speaking in our own native language?" The power that Jesus talked about to them, as recorded in Luke, has just happened. I think it's an understatement of the recorder, Luke, to say the crowd that watched what happened on Pentecost was, as it tells us in the text, bewildered. Can you imagine watching this phenomena of a room in which all of a sudden there's a swirling sound of wind on a calm day, tongues of fire rest upon each one of the disciples, visible for all to see, and they begin to speak in a language that's unknown to them, and everybody hears them speaking in their own language. Whew, okay. The power has come. What Jesus promised in Luke has happened. Before it happened, they were in one room, locked behind doors for fear of the Jews. This ragtime army were afraid, locked the doors, wouldn't dare to go outside. But the power of God falls on them, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. And they open the doors wide, and they're not fearful of anything because the Holy Spirit is working through them and equipping them to be all that God desires them to be. They're now bold, courageous, fearless, instead of fearful. I need this. I increasingly need what's happened to them. Acts chapter 1, John baptized with water. But you will be baptized, saturated, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what's talked about here. The saturation, the filling, the infilling in such a dramatic way as recorded in the book of Acts. There's no other better analogy than a sponge. A sponge that's dry is of no use. But when you fill it up with water, it becomes useful and pliable. It's easy to work with, and it's easy to do the work with it. Now, something that happens to a sponge is as you work the sponge, what happens to the water? It gets spent, doesn't it? It dries up. As you read through the book of Acts, yes, they had that experience in Acts chapter 2, but they kept going back and asking for a refilling because they had expended the energy within them that God had placed with them in the Holy Spirit. You come this morning, I dare say most, if not all of us, have surrendered our life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. If not, today is the day to do that. And because you've surrendered your life and follow Him as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit's in you. But for some, you haven't taken that next step of asking what happened in the book of Acts chapter 2 to happen in you. I don't know about you, but I want that power. For many of us, we've asked for that, but we need to come back again and say, fill me afresh. I'm a dry sponge. We've seen increased pastoral needs in our community of St. Nicholas Church, and we increasingly live in a countercultural environment. The only answer is more of the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is pray. Jesus, fill me, saturate me. By yourself, with somebody else. You might want to read through the scriptures and that list of the 33 things to prepare yourself to know what the Holy Spirit will do. James chapter 4, you do not have because you do not ask. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, for everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and the one who knocks will be open. And which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? The Holy Spirit is a good gift. He's going to give it to you if you ask Him for it. Ask Him today. The daughters of the King are always available after the service to pray for you. Come up forward. Let them pray for you to be filled, saturated, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Give me a call. Give Joyce a call. Give Matt or Rebecca a call. Call us this week and say, I want to receive prayer that I might be filled. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for gathering us this morning on this celebration of Pentecost. Fill us, saturate us with your presence, Holy Spirit, that we may be the people that you desire us to be, being filled with you to be able to live the life that Jesus calls us to, and to be the servants expanding your kingdom in the way in which you've called us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.